If she has an Israeli wedding, you hear everything anyway. So.
Yeah, there was a
microphone.
Right. I thought they would stop me. Berzon, what are you changing the Nusach HaBrach?
Maybe in a very particular Haredi, you know.
So, gentlemen, yes. We studied in depth yesterday the sugya in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. And the Gemara reconciles the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Brice of Rabbi Avo. In our Mishnah, Kol HaMakalkalim Peturim, without any exception. In the Brice of Rabbi Avo, there are two exceptions. There's Chovel Umavir. And the Gemara reconciles it in the following way. Our Mishnah, which says Kol HaMakalkalim Peturim, without any exception, is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. The Brice of Rabbi Avo is authored by Rabbi Shimon. And Rashi points out, Lo Nisparesh Hecha. You quote a Gemara here, you quote a debate, a controversy between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Where is this machlokas? It can't be the machlokas about Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa, because in that case, Rabbi Yehuda is the machmir and Rabbi Shimon is the maker. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayev from Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa, Rabbi Shimon says you're potter from Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa. In our Mishnah, the Mishnah says you're potter for Chovel of Mavir. If it's a Mekalkel. And the Brice of Rabbi Avo says, despite the fact that it's Mekalkel, you're chayav for Chovel of Mavir. So therefore the Brice is taking the stricter view, and the Brice is establishing that you're chayav for Chovel of Mavir, even though it's Mekalkel. And now you're telling me that stricter view reflects the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the Mekel, he's the one who's lenient. So there's something going on here. So Rashi spends 10 lines here, literally, in presenting a thesis. And the thesis of Rashi, wow. I have to tell you, Tzvi, that you're 14 minutes early. So the thesis of Rashi is the following. Tzvi, this is good for you to clue in, because this is a review of the main points that we did yesterday. Rashi says that there's a categorization of tzorech. The concept of tzorech means one of two different things. It could mean tzorech gufo or a more general tzorech. What is tzorech gufo, and what's this more all-encompassing broad-scoped tzorech? Rashi identifies the broad-scoped tzorech as tzorech tzdadi. Let me explain. There's something called internal and external. And Don, you may remember that I tried to jot this on the board. If it's internal, if it's essential, then you're defining the malacha. I would call it the kishkes of the malacha, and you're saying that he had a tzorech for the kishkes of the malacha. How do you know what the kishkes of the malacha is? And that's the Mishkan. So we go back to the Mishkan, we see why they did the malacha, and that's what it's all about. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rashi, and he says, you know what, there's a broader definition of tzorech. It doesn't have to be internal, it doesn't have to be the essence of the malacha, the kishkes of the malacha. I'm going to allow you to come up with your own personal need and benefit for the malacha. Your kavana lehenos, on a very subjective level, is going to be a valid tzorech to make the malacha into a maleches tikkun as opposed to a maleches kilkun. So for example, if chovel was done for shechita, which means that in the Mishkan they needed meat for the karbanos or whatever they did, so they did shechita, and as a result of the shechita, the karban is now prepared and you can eat from it and so forth and so on. If you need the shechita because you're collecting the blood in a basin in order to let your dog lick up the blood, again, it's a pretty bizarre kind of thing from my perspective, but if that's what you're doing, that tzorech makes it into tikkun. And Rashi here employs a very interesting language. He says it's tikkun etzel acherim. What does he mean, etzel acherim? On the one hand, if Reuven bashes Shimon is the victim, as far as Shimon is concerned, that's kilkul. You know, he's going to spend who knows how long in the hospital. And nobody wants to be in the hospital. Actually, Ben didn't have a bad experience in the hospital. But I'm sure he was very happy they sent him home, like, after a day or two, right? But says Rashi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have a tikkun etzel acherim, let's see Rashi's language. I don't want to misquote Rashi. Rashi says, "Kilkel hu etzel hamalocha ach atzma, but mitakin hi etzel acherim." So let's take, for example, the case of Mavir. Acherim is someone else. Right? Acher. So, right? So Acher is the plural of someone else. And Rashi says that if, let's say, I burn down your haystack, you're the victim, from your perspective, it's certainly kilkul. And even from the perspective of the chefetz, meaning the object itself, you know, the haystack or the wood that I burn, it's pure kilkul. You know, the wood is gone. It's been converted into gas, you know. But it's a tikkun etzel acherim. Why? What does that mean, tikkun etzel acherim? Because I need the ashes. So somehow if I benefit from this burning, Rabbi Yehuda says that the halacha validates my tzorech, and this is called the tzorech. Okay then? Do we have... I remember that we put Harvey's pages somewhere. Oh, you have that, Svi?
So these are my pages. I gave Harvey his folder.
Oh, Harvey, where did you put your folder from yesterday? Do you happen to remember there was a folder?
I don't know. I didn't do any fact-checking.
What? No. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll give you this. You have an extra? Oh, that's great. Okay. And then Harvey will find we'll find your folder. Okay, then?
Yeah.
Oh. So again, Rabbi Yehuda's shita is what defines tzorech? According to Rabbi Yehuda, can we sing this together? Tzorech eitzel acherim. Okay, that's the key word, eitzel acherim. And Rashi says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that validates tzorech. And that is a tikkun which converts a kilkul into a meleches tikkun. That's Rabbi Yehuda's unique sheet. And therefore, the case of Chovel, Vitzorech Lekalbo, or the case of Mavi Vitzorech Liafro, he'll be chay.
So is the irony usually Rabbi Yehuda is more machmer, he seems to be more mekel, is that what we're learning?
Says Rashi that since Rabbi Yehuda is machmer in Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, and he recognizes and validates a tzorech which is Eitzel Acherim, therefore Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that even Chovel Mavir, which ostensibly look like Meleches Kilkul, are in fact Meleches Tikkun. Why? Because since I needed Eitzel Acherim, I need the burnt wood in order to get the Afer, I need the wounding in order to extract the blood and feed it to my dog, that tikkun is valid, and therefore there's no reason in the world to take Chovel Umavir, out of the category of Kol HaMekalkelim Peturim. So Ben says it very well, that the paradox here is that the Chumer of Rabbi Yehuda leads to a Kula. Why? Because since Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah validates a tzorech, therefore that tzorech, even though it's not begufa shel malacha, it's not in the atzma, in the essence of the malacha, nevertheless it can convert a maleches kilkul to maleches tikkun because the Torah validates that tzorech. That's the mechanics here of Rashi. As I said yesterday, that only gives us 50%, because now we have to figure out why the price of Rabbi Avo is attributed to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa Patur. All of a sudden in Chovel Umavir, Rabbi Shimon turns out to be the one who's Machmir, and he says that you're Chayav, even if you don't need the Chavala for the blood, you don't need the Mavir for the ashes, and you're still Chayav. And here's where we ended yesterday's shiur, and we said that Rashi Dibra Maskil Ubraiser Rabbi Shimon he Tiomer Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa Potter Alei Hilchach Ein Lecha Chovul Mavir Sheeno Mekalkil.
Great, thanks.
That's Rashi Dibra Maskil Ubraiser Rabbi Shimon he in the pages that I gave you yesterday. This is for today's shiur. I'm just doing a review on yesterday's shiur. Okay, so Harvey, you'll have to just listen about Peh. And listen to what Rashi's saying. The logic of Rashi is brilliant. Rashi says the following. That in the case of Chovil Mavir, in those two cases, if the Torah says Yechayev, then why Yechayev? You have two possibilities here. Either you're going to say Yechayev because even though it's a Meleches Kilkul, the Torah says in these two exceptional cases Yechayev, for whatever reason we don't know, that's going to be the next part of the Sugya.
Without exceptions.
What do you mean by without exceptions?
According to Rav Shimon, it would be without your chayv without exceptions. Because
in what? In Chovel Mavir?
Chovel Mavir.
Oh, okay, good. You got me nervous. Because Chovel Mavir are the exceptions. Yeah. But Chovel Mavir will always be chayv without exception, right? These two exceptions. So let's work out the mathematics. Rashi works it out for us beautifully. Rashi says the following. Mimanafshach, no matter how you slice the cake. If you tell me that in the cases of Chovel and Mavir he had a tzorech and they are Meleches Tikkun, you're in deep trouble. Because what makes into a tzorech? The fact that you're feeding your dog? The fact that you need the ashes? Well, Reb Shimon holds Melech Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa is Potter, meaning Reb Shimon doesn't recognize and doesn't validate this broader tzorech. If on the other hand he has a tzorech L'Gufa Shel Melecha, right, he needs the fire itself to warm up his freezing living room in the winter, then that itself is a Meleches Tikkun. So by definition, you could never have a case, according to Reb Shimon, of Chovel Mavir, which is a Mekalkel, unless it's what we call Kilkul Gomer. It's a total Kilkul. And the Gemara is going to prove, based on Reb Shimon's statement elsewhere, that you're chayav for Chovel Mavir. And if you're chayav for Chovel Mavir, then it must be that despite the fact that this is Meleches Kilkul, nevertheless you're chayav. Let's read the Rashi inside. And Rashi says the following. Brisa Rabbi Shimon. Okay, let me just show you how you where that is. You found it?
Yeah.
Okay, Brisa Rabbi Shimon. He says, the Omer Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Potter Ali Hilkach Ein Lecha Mavir Ein Lecha Chovel Mavir She'ein Mekalkel. There's no such thing as Chovel Mavir without Kilkel. Oh. Now here it gets a little complicated. Rashi says, Vafilu Mavir Eitzim L'Kdei Raso. So basically, if he heats up a fire, if he lights a fire, he takes wood and he lights it up, and he wants to cook his pot of meat, where is the tikkun? I'm going to lock this door so nobody should come in during the shiur.
The tikkun's in the meat.
We're going to get a key for this. Yeah, what?
The tikkun's in the meat.
The tikkun is in the meat. Where's the kilkul? In the eitzim. So therefore, it's always Meleches Kilkul. Elo, are you going to tell me, but he needs it for his pot? Or, for example, let's say it was a freezing day in the winter and he needs to heat up the room. So he lights wood for a fire. Where is the tikkun? It's in the heat in the room, right? The room now becomes livable, inhabitable. But as far as the wood is concerned, that he's burning, it's going up in smoke, that's a kilkul. No, so here Rabbi Shimon, I'm sorry, here at this point, enter Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, well, I don't care if it's a kilkul in the gufa malach, as long as there's a tikkun eitzel acherim. So that would broaden my understanding of tikkun, of tzorech, and therefore tikkun, and that's why I'm chayv for chovel umavir, because I have some sort of constructive benefit from burning the wood. But according to Reb Shimon never accepted and validated a tzorech eitzel acherim, and therefore by definition the malacha becomes a meleches tikkun. Now I'll tell you what bothers me. What bothers me is, let's say you had a soft metal and you want to harden the metal. How would you do so? Do you follow my? You follow my saying? Let's say you had molten lead and you wanted to harden it.
Cool. You heat it?
No, right now it's cold. Let's say it's cold now, and I want to. It's in a liquid form, and I want to make it into a solid. I would have to process it by heating it, right? Subject it to heating.
Physically, it's impossible. If it's steel and it's cold, it's solid.
So give me a case, Rabosa. I don't know enough about physics here. Where the fire itself is misaking something. Can we not come up with such a case?
It's as if Chovil and Mavir, there's never a heter. It's always Doraita.
No, but I'm asking, Rashi says that according to Rav Shimon, you can never have Chovil and Mavir that's a tikkun. It's always a kilt.
Kashrut, Malbim don't use heat to kashra a pot that's...
That's a pretty complicated case, but just simply in physics, I mean, without, I don't know beans about kashering pots, right now.
Yeah.
You know, for 13 years I spent my Erev Pesach kashering pots in the army. That was my miluim, besides the other 45 days of miluim I did every year. But anyway, yeah.
You change ice to steam. You warm up you put the ice in a pot, you light a fire under it.
Right.
It turns to liquid and then it eventually evaporates.
Yeah, but again, that might be kilkul. What I'm asking is,
no, you need it,
give me a case where fire will improve an object.
Oh,
it's in a state which is hardly functional, and then by heating it, now all of a sudden it becomes functional. There's no case where you can take a liquid metal of some sort and harden it. I'm pretty sure the Gemara has such a case where you heat up a metal and it becomes strong. Can we assume again? We are, you know, Jeremy used to be our physics major, but he's somehow. I don't know.
Maybe. Sunday.
Oh, maybe he'll be back on Sunday. So we're going to ask this question to Jeremy on Sunday, Yirmiyahu, and he's going to give us an answer.
Purify gold, let's say.
Oh, that's a good idea. Excellent. I love that. Gold has impurities in it. And by putting into what's called a Kur HaBarzel, you know, Mitzrayim, Egypt is called a Kur HaBarzel, it burns out the impurities. So why does Rashi say that according to Reb Shimon, there's no possibility of Mavir, of lighting a fire, which is a Tikkun? That's not so. I'm going to light a fire under gold, and it's going to remove, natural gold, it's going to remove the impurities. Excellent. You made my day.
I think it's just a great...
Because I was getting really sweaty under the collar.
Despite of the impurities, you've destroyed them. Would
say it one more time?
Rashi, on behalf of Rashi, could answer. But you've destroyed the impurities. So that was a kilku.
No, destroying impurities is not a kilku.
So it could never be.
Destroying impurities is by definition a tikku.
I think that you...
So I'm just wondering why Rashi said...
stretching it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want you to empathize with me. I have a problem here in Rashi. Rashi's assuming... Again, what's the language of Rashi is... that...
Ein
lecha... Listen to the language of Rashi. Ein lecha... Chovel mavir... She'eno mekalkil. It's a double negative. There's no case of chovel mavir... which is not a kilkul. If you want to turn it into a positive statement, every case of chovel mavir by definition is a kilkul. And then he says, even if I burn the eitzim in order to create heat, or what was his purpose here?
To warm the room.
L'kdera, it says. So to heat up his pot, which has meat in it, and he wants to heat up his cholent, even that, Rashi says, is only a tikkun eitzel acher, because as far as the eitzim are concerned, it's a kilkul. But what happens if I want to remove impurities from the eitzim, or in your case, from the gold? Do you follow my point? I don't know why Rashi says that, you know, you're off the earth, you've walked off the face of the earth if you come up with a case of tikkun in mavir. I don't know why that's so. Why couldn't Rashi come up with a case where he removes impurities from
no,
gold?
So then that piece of Gemara is going to be problematic.
Yeah, I don't know about the piece of Gemara itself, because maybe there are other interpretations of the Gemara, but Rashi's take on the Gemara, I don't know, I'm very perplexed. Okay, Rabosai, at this point, we're going to start Beitzah. Yeah.
Why isn't Kori Rav Shimon...
Oh, and Rav Shimon can't deny that Yechayev. The Gemara is going to explain why Rav Shimon knows and how he knows that Yechayev for Chovel Mavre. And Chovel Mavre, by definition, is always what? Says Rashi. Mekalkel. So therefore, Rav Shimon was forced to take two of the malachas, which he knew you were Chayev for, and by definition are always Mekalkel, and establish them as exceptions to our rule of calling Mekalkel in Petuvim. And that's the right.
So it doesn't make a difference. What's the difference if it's tikkun or not? He's got a rule.
Right. No, at the end, we're just trying to figure out, Manny, how do we get to that rule? You're right. The bottom line is, once the rule is formulated, that in Mavir and Chovel, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I couldn't care less. It could be pure kilkul from A to Z, 100% kilkul, and you're going to be chayav. That's Rav Shimon. We were only trying to understand how did the Gemara arrive at this conclusion that Rav Shimon is committed to that position that you're chayav for chovel maver, even though it's pure kilkul. And Rashi's suggestion is that according to Rav Shimon, by definition, every single case of chovel maver is makalkil. What are you going to tell me? But you need it for this, for that, and the other thing. That's only good according to Rav Yehuda, who validates a broader definition of Torah, which is the Eitz Lacherim. Rav Shimon never accepted Eitz Lacherim, and therefore it's a Malachas Kilkul. And yet the Torah says Yechai. Now, where does the Torah say that Yechai for Chovel Mavir? Maybe, you know, there's going to be somebody in the audience who's a fighter, and he rejects the very premise that Yechai on Shabbos for Chovel Mavir. So the Gemara says that since Mila, circumcision, is Maleches Chovel, therefore the Torah says that on Shabbos you're allowed to violate the Shabbos for Mila, but note that you are violating the Shabbos. The Torah allows you to do so, and maybe even obligates you to do so. Obviously, you're Chai for Chovel. Now, you and I might say, well, that's a tikkun, because the child now is a mahu.
That makes it a Malacha.
And that should make it into a Maleches Tikkun. But again, that's going to be the next sugya. Somehow the Gemara assumes that the fact that he's a mahul, that per se doesn't create a tikkun. Again, we'd have to learn the Mor Nevuchim of the Rambam and his philosophical works about how Mila protects you from certain diseases, but wow. It seems like the medicine of our time did not accept the Rambam in that case. And in the case of Mavir, the Torah says that you're not allowed to violate Mavir in one of the four capital punishments, which is called Sreifa. You know, there are four categories of capital punishments. And we're not going to do that on Shabbos. Why? Because it's a Maleches Mavir. So Rav Shimon says we see in two cases, in Mila as far as Chovil is concerned, and in Onesh Sreifa, Misa Sreifa, as far as Mavir is concerned, that the Torah says you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. Again, in Mila there's going to be a special dispensation, but if not for that special pasuk that says B'yom HaShmini Yimol Basar Safilu B'yom HaShabbos, otherwise it would be prohibited. And why? Because the Torah says that Mavir and Chovil are Malachas on Shabbos. It's always Makalkel, according to Rav Shimon. That's Rashi's calculation. That's Rav Shimon's sheet. That there are two malachas out of 39 where you're chayav even though it's kilkul. And these young men here in our Beis Medrash in the Kollel are studying Shabbos this year. And if I was in charge of making an exam for them, I would ask them on the exam, what two malachas, bless you, are you chayav for despite the fact that it's kilkul? And according to whom? And if they want to get 100 on the exam, they're going to have to answer the following: Chovel Umavir, according to Rabbi Shimon, and according to the Brisa of Rabbi Avoh. If they don't give you that full answer, they get points taken off. But it's really fascinating when you think about it, because kilkul, the concept of kilkul, is so antithetical to what Shabbos is all about. And yet, in two malachas out of 39, Rav Shimon insists that you're chayav, even though you're in the kol. So if we're all on board, I'd like to start the sugya in Beitzah. Okay, then? Now, you might be curious as to why we're learning Masechta Beitzah today. After all, most of what we've been doing until now was in Masechta Shabbos. And in order to appreciate that, I want to raise the following question, and this question is going to be a segue into the sugya in Beitzah. My question is as follows. According to Rabbi Shimon, as we've just learned in Rashi, 37 malachas out of 39 will be pturim in a case of makalk. Now, I don't understand. Every case of Makalkil, according to Rashi, comes under Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Guf. Why? Because when a person does something destructive, he's doing it for an ultimate goal. But the only problem is, that's only a Tikkun Eitzel Acherim. But inherently, there is no Tikkun B'Gufa B'Atzma Shel Malacha. So my question to you is the following. According to Rabbi Shimon, once I have Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, why do I need the principle of Mekalkel, meaning this whole Mishnah? Or in the case of Rabbi Avol, the Brice of Rabbi Avol, Kol HaMekalkel Peturim Chutz. Why do I need Kol HaMekalkel Peturim? Every case of Mekalkel is a Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. He has no tzorach for the malacha. And if you'll tell me, well, he has a tzorach study, it's al acherim, then Rabbi Shimon doesn't validate such a tzorach. Rabbi Shimon has a more restricted, narrow definition of litzorach. So again, just to reiterate my question so that you appreciate why we're learning Masechta Beitza. According to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that malacha shein tzricha l'gufa is patur, it would seem that the category of makalkel as a patur in Shabbos is totally superfluous, totally unnecessary. It doesn't add a thing. Why? Because in every case of makalkel, by definition, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Why? Because every case of makalkel, if he has a tzorach l'gufa, then it's metakin and it's not makalkel. Elo, what? He only has a tzorach etzal achirim, according to Rabbi Shimon. That's not valid because the Torah never recognized the tzorach etzal achirim. So if that tzorach is not valid, then it's a malach shein tzricha l'gufa and it's potter. So what do you need? What do you add onto the entire discussion of makalkel? What do you add onto the discussion of pture Shabbos by adding a category called makalkel? I already have a category that covers every single case of makalkel. And that's malach shein tzricha l'gufa. Because once again, mimarav shach, no matter how you slice the cake, if he has a kavana for the gufa shel malach, that's a tikkun. So let's say, for example, in our paradigm, where he burns, you know, gold in order to remove the impurities of the gold. That's a tikkun in the gufa malach. But what about the case where he burns the wood in order to collect the ashes, or in order to heat up his kedera, you know, his pot on the fire? That's already a tzorech study. That's already a case of eitzel acherim, of tikkun eitzel acherim. Well, Rabbi Shimon holds that's a malach shein tzricha l'gufa. So we must say either you're chayav in makalkel because it's not a makalkel, or if it is a makalkel, then you're potter because of malach shein tzricha l'gufa. Complicated. All right, hopefully as we go along, I'll try to clarify that. See, this would be a case where chavrusa learning would be very, very helpful. Why? No, I'm just telling you, Don, or maybe you can listen to the tape, or whatever you... I'm saying chazara here would be a critical element, if you don't mind my pointing it out to you. I mean it for your benefit, not for mine.
Absolutely.
What I mean to say is that sometimes Gemara learning becomes very complex and mathematical. You know what I mean? This is a perfect example of a mathematics where you got to keep cheshbon. You have to keep, you know, it's like an actuary, you know, he has to make all the mathematical.
You have to keep
an accountant. Keep the score. You have to keep the score. And for many of us, you know, some people are mathematically superior. They hear it once and they got it. Other people are a little slower. I fit in the second category. So when it comes to mathematics, I have to go over it again and again and again. Okay, this brings back bad memories from high school, but we won't go into that.
Bertrand, this is only a question in the world of Rabbi Shimon, true?
Correct. But that's a very important question, because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. We accept Rabbi Shimon. Mm-hmm. That malach shein tzricha l'gufa is potter. And now there's a pressing issue. Why do I need makalkel? Because makalkel mimarav shach. Either he needs the gufa shel malacha, you know, he needs that object that he's doing the malacha on, and then it's not a makalkel at all, or he needs it for some other thing, and that becomes a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. So he's part of the. And there's no case in which I need a ptur of makalkel according to Rav Shimon. That's what comes out of this Rashi. It's a fascinating Rashi. Okay. So what happens here in the Mishnah in Beitza? The Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Beitza records a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai on the following question. And that is, are you allowed to shecht an animal on Yontif? In this case, let's call it a bird, okay? And after you shecht the bird, you need to do what? Who remembers what mitzvah applies after the shechita?
Cover the blood.
Correct, cover the blood. That's called kisi adam. Just out of curiosity, if you don't mind, how many people in this room ever fulfilled the mitzvah of kisi adam?
No.
I'm impressed. Two people. Three people. I did it for the first time in my life last year. it was very interesting. They were slugging kaparas on Erev Yom Kippur, and they allowed us to do the Kisi Adam after they shechted the oath.
You didn't do the shechting,
you just did the shechting. No, Shechita I didn't do. I wouldn't mess around with Shechita. I never learned Shechita. But Kisi Adam, you don't have to be a great scientist to do Kisi Adam. But it was exciting for me. Yeah?
My Mahane Yehuda, in the parking lot near the Shuk, where they do that, they actually, depending on who you go to, it's their...
They allow you to do the Kisi Adam.
Yeah, some of them encourage you to...
So that's what I do. So now the question is the following. What are the problems involved in Kisi Adam on Yontif? On the one hand, it's a mitzvah, but on the other hand, we can't violate the malacha. Just like there's an Issa malacha on Shabbos and an Issa malacha on Yontif. Now, one particular problem is going to be digging a ditch. What do I mean by digging a ditch? I need to get the dirt in order to cover the blood. And I'm going to have to dig into the earth in order to access that dirt.
I have a more general question.
Yeah.
So, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do all the things that involve cooking.
Correct.
So, shechita is allowed.
Correct.
Because you need it in order to cook the... So why isn't covering the blood...
Because covering the blood is irrelevant to eating. Covering the blood is a separate mitzvah. Shechita is absolutely necessary in order to allow me to eat the chicken and put it on my yontif table. But Kisi Adam is a separate mitzvah. Now, I'm in a funny kind of bind here, parenthetically. There's a paradox here because on the one hand, I want to encourage him to do shechita on yontif, right? Because I want to eat the chicken on yontif. But on the other hand, I have an absolute obligation once the shechita is completed of Kisi Adam.
That's a malacha.
And Kisi Adam is involved. Well, that's what we're trying to analyze. Right. So let's go back to that question.
Exactly. It's a question, is it a malacha?
Is it a malacha? Is Kisi Adam a malacha? So here are the issues. We break it down. All right, so your heading for today will be, is Kisi Adam a malacha? So we're going to break it down now into its component parts. Part A is what's called Harisha. Do I have that on the blackboard? Did I write the word Harisha?
I think I did, but... Here's what we have. We have here a case of digging. Okay, you see the word digging here. Now, digging is called chofer guma. As you remember in the Tosfos read, we spent a lot of time on that concept of chofer guma, which we say chofer guma ain't a malacha, right? But chofer guma is definitely prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Whether or not it's a malacha or it's an Issa d'Rabbanan, and I don't want to get into that now. So he's got to dig a hole in order to get the dirt out. Okay? We're going to see that there's a solution to that problem if he puts the spade, which is called a deker, into the ground before Yom Tov, preparing, as it were, the dirt for Kisi Adam. Now we have a second problem. And the second problem is what's called Ketisha. I can't just take out a clump of earth, a clod of earth, and be machas in the dam. It's got to be crushed. And for that, we'd have to learn a sugya mesechta chulin about Kisi Adam, but accept it on blind faith. So you've got to crush or crumble the earth. That's called ketisha. Okay, ketisha, or crushing, is a tolda of meleches tchina. Tchina means grind. Whenever you take a solid, large piece of something and you break it down to its smallest parts, you violate a malacha called tochen, or tchina. Has nothing to do with chumas and tchina, but... Well, actually, maybe it's called tchina because you grind the sumsum or whatever, the sesame seeds. So that's tochen. We're going to see that we can solve this problem before Yom Tov. If not only did he prepare the earth by digging in, and he doesn't have to make a hole on Yom Tov, but in addition, he crushed the earth before Yom Tov. So that solves two problems. So we've solved the problem of meleches choresh, harisha, of digging a hole. We've solved the problem of meleches tochen, by crushing the earth, or crumbling the earth before, the clods of dirt before Yom Tov. And now we have another problem, which is called mukta. Okay, so let's learn it inside, and I'll show you the Mishnah. So first of all, let's learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the following: Hashochet
chaya vi'of. Okay, now chaya is loosely translated to English as a wild animal. I hate those translations because they don't really do justice. But your classical case of a chaya, this is line 4 in the Mishnah at the beginning of Beitza. Again, you might call it line 5 if you add the word Beitza.
Okay?
Yeah, there's a little gimel there if that helps you. So in the cases of chaya v'of, you're chaya v'kisi adam. Anybody know what the third category is called? As opposed to chaya and of? All animals fit into 3 categories. Behemoth, exactly. Behemoth would be classically what we call cattle, bakar. And if you shecht a cow, for example, there's no kisi adam. There's only kisi adam in the case of a deer. I don't know if any of you have ever eaten venison. I once ate it in a very fancy restaurant in Manhattan. I didn't pay the bill. And by the way, I didn't like the meat. It's too tough for me. But you pay a good price for deer, kosher deer meat. And that's called a chaya. And after you shecht the deer, you have to cover the blood. But the classical case of kisi adam is when you're shechting ofos, birds. It's interesting, in halacha, chaya and of always go together. It's like horse and buggy. But in this week's parasha, by the way, is the exception to the rule. There's one mitzvah in this week's parasha which applies to ofos and doesn't apply to chayos. It's the only exception to that partnership relationship between chayos and ofos. Anybody know which mitzvah I have in mind? Exactly, Shiluch HaKan. And the one who points this out, you were with me, is Rav Sorotskin, you know, in his famous Maznaim L'Torah. Anyway, so the Mishnah goes on and says, Beit Shammai Omrim, Yachpar b'deker v'yachase. He will take a deker. A deker is in English called a spade. And he'll dig into the ground. And he'll cover the blood. Now, Beis Hillel Omrim lo yishchot. You know what? I'm not going to allow you to shecht because I don't want you to dig your spade into the ground for the purpose of kisi adam, and I know that you'll be obligated to kisi adam, so I don't want you to shecht. Why? Because if you shecht, you're going to engender the chiyuv of kisi adam, and you won't be able to fulfill it. Ella, here's the way that you can do shechita on yontif. Im kain hayelo afar muchan miba'od yom. He prepares the afar, the dirt, on erev yontif. However, you might come to the mistaken conclusion that according to Beis Hillel, if he didn't do so, and he didn't prepare the offer, mibod yom, then he's not allowed to shecht. So the Mishnah says no. Umodim, Beis Hillel agree to Beis Shammai, she'im shachat, if he went ahead and he shechted, she'yachbar b'deker v'yachasa. And why is that allowed? And the Gemara answers, she'efer kira muchanhu, because the ashes of a stove are considered muchan, they're prepared already from Erev Yontif. So basically, it comes out that what we thought is a very extreme, dramatic machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai is not such a big machlokas. It's all an issue of lechatchila. What should you be doing on Erev Yontif? And Beis Hillel says you got to make the proper preparations. But even Beis Hillel says if you don't make the proper preparations, I agree to Beit Shammai that you're allowed to shecht. And the Gemara is going to have to take this up. What's this all about? Efer kira muchanu. Those 4 words at the end of the Mishnah apparently contain the secret to understand how you are able to achieve kisi adam on yontif when you didn't prepare on erev yontif. So for that we fast forward to the Gemara, which in this case is on Daf Zayin. Omud Beis, and that's the last 2 lines on the page.
There's a lot there about whether.
Say it again. Correct.
Could also have to do with mukhan.
Right. It definitely has to do with mukhan. Whenever you see the word mukhan or hachana, you're always in the parasha of mukhan.
Sounds like it's dug up.
Of what? Say it again.
Mukhan is also in relationship to the earth use. It's very loose already.
Oh, okay. Well, let's, you know what, I would say, Shmuel, let's go through the Gemara, you know, stage by stage, step by step, because the Gemara's can actually discuss this case as to whether it's the earth is loose or not, and so forth. So the Gemara says, first quoting the Mishnah, he had three lines of, before the end of Daf Zainam and Beis, Umodim, and they agree, Sheim Shachar, if he went any Shechtin, is Sheyachbar Bedeker V'yachasa, that he can dig and take the earth out and cover the blood. Omar Rabbi Zrika, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Vahu means, but that's only applicable if sheyeshlo deker nautz mibaod yom. Again, he didn't do all the processes, you know, all the preparations, but what at least at the very minimum, what he did was he took the spade and he dug it into the ground on Erev Yontif. Meaning that if he didn't do this minimum preparation, then even Bidyeved, in such a situation, Beis Hillel would not allow him to do the Shechita. And the reason for that is because of Meleches Charisha, meaning you're not allowed to make a hole in the ground. So at the very least, we have to assume that he didn't dig up a hole because the spade was already in the ground. Now again, you might argue, okay, the spade is dug into the ground, but nevertheless, he still has to pick up the offer. And the answer is that the Gemara maintains that once the spade is inserted into the ground, notes, what did I write here? Did I write the word notes on the blackboard? I meant to. Yeah, inserted into the ground. So once it's notes, then that's not considered that you created a new hole, because it's already prepared. But the Gemara is not happy with this, because it's not enough just to dig out the earth. The earth is in a clod, C-L-O-A-D. You know, it's in a sort of a solid form. That's not kosher for the midst of Kisi Adnam.
You have to pulverize it.
Right. I call it to crumble it. Okay, but whatever it is, it's Meleches Ketisha. So we've solved the problem of Meleches Charisha. Why? Because it's Deker notes, Mibod Yom. The spade has been inserted into the ground. But we still have to crumble up the dirt. That's Halach and Hilchos Kisi Adnam. That's called Ketisha. And that's a subcategory of what Melacha Tochen. No, let's keep it in mind, because we have Choresh, we have Tochen. Those are two separate malachs. Choresh means digging a hole in the ground, and Tochen means grinding. And when you crumble up earth, the Gemara says that that's called grinding. It's interesting, because we usually, classically, we think of grinding as a food stuff. You know, you take a, you know, you they may tell you, for example, that when you make a salad, okay, this is more for the lady folk, but I don't know if anyone here makes salad. So when you make a salad on Shabbos Yom Tov, you should cut it into larger pieces. Do they ever tell you that? No?
I think avocado also is an issue of Tochen. The way that you cut it.
Maybe smashing avocado or bananas and stuff like that.
People do Bishina.
Yeah, on Yom Tov it's you know, we might allow a Bishina, but on Shabbos it becomes more problematic. But let's not get off on a tangent, because we're going to have to review a lot of halachas.
Wouldn't you be allowed to just step on it once it's out of the ground?
I guess that's also called ketisha. The question is, that might be kelachar yad. Do you remember we discussed doing something in an unusual way? Mm-hmm. That's not meleches machsheves. So I don't know. It could be that also there's halach and kisi adam that you're not allowed to be machasa with your foot. But you're just saying to crumble the ground. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you're right. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Omar Rav. Now we go on to Daf Ches Omar Aleph. The Ofar Tichoach. Okay. So what's Ofar Tichoach? I think I have that on the board here. Do you see this over here? Loose earth. Tichoach means it's loose. Meaning there's no need to crumble it, and there's no ketish.
Like the afer.
Right. So let's now see what problems we've so far solved. Number one, we solved the problem of Charisha. And why is that? because he has the Deckard notes Mibojo, right? What did I say? I meant to say Harisha. What did I say?
Harisha.
Hey, oh, okay, good. So that problem you solved. Now we have the problem of Ketisha. We've solved the problem of Ketisha because it's Ofer Tichoach. What's Ofer Tichoach? We said that Ofer Tichoach means it's already been crumbled. So you don't, doesn't have to grind it, if you follow me. Now the Gemara wants to introduce another halacha here. And that is the following. He may need the offer. And the question is, when you take this spade that was inserted into the ground, and now you remove the offer, so again, are you preparing the ground for planting? No, right? You're not interested in planting. You want the dirt in order to cover the da. So basically, this should come under the halacha of Balacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. What do I mean? So the Gemara says, V'aka Ovid Guma. Okay, the spade is in the ground. You know, that might possibly solve the problem of Muktza. You know, this is Erev Yogtif, he already designated the Ofar Tichoach for the purpose of Kisi Adam. So Erev Yogtif, he's already prepared the Ofar Tichoach. But now he's got to dig it up. And when he digs up this Ofar Tichoach, this very loose dirt or ground, he's going to create a hole, and now I can use that hole for planting. And that would again reiterate, so to speak, or reinstate our problem of Baleches Choresh. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, he's not at all interested in planting. The Omer Rabbi Abba, Chofer Guma B'Shabbos, V'eino Tzorech El Li Afra, Potter Ale. He's making a Guma when he lifts up the spade with the crumbled dirt in it. But that guma is not being dug for the purpose of planting. He has no intention of planting. He only needs the earth. And that's called chofer guma v'yeno tzarech el yafra. He doesn't need the hole itself. He only needs the offer. And Rabbi Abba says, potter ale. So let's look at Rashi. Potter ale. That's the top line of Rashi. The second Rashi on the line, Potter Ale, Kidum Mefarsh Time of Perkama de Chagiga. Just 1 second, let's see if you're on the right page here. 1 second.
Okay,
yeah, we're in Beitza here, Daf Chesam and Aleph. Potter Ale, can I underline it? Do you mind? Okay. So Rashi quotes a Gemara in Chagiga. Now, usually they tell you where it is in Chagiga. In my text, it doesn't say. Does it say in your text? Okay, so I'll fill that in for you. That's Daf Yud Amid Beis. You want to make a note of that?
Yeah.
Because that's a very important Gemara. Chagiga Daf Yud Amid Beis. The Kevan Di Eino Tzorech El Li Afra. He only needs the Afra, the dirt. Velo Leguma. He has no interest in the Guma, neither for Boneh or for Choresh. That's very cool that Rashi mentions these two possibilities that we saw in the Tosis Rid, that a hole in the ground could either be in the house, it's preparation for Binyan, and it's out in the field, it's a preparation for planting, which is called Choresh. Now, there are five more words in this Rashi. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to cover those five words for pedagogic purposes, and we're going to fill in the last part of this Rashi without looking at Rashi. So Rashi says that if you did not need the hole, neither for construction purposes in your house, nor for planting purposes in your field, then your potter ale. Now, why? Don't look at Rashi. Why are you potter? After all, I need it for the offer. I need this hole because otherwise I won't get the offer out of the ground. So what would be your answer to that question?
Well, Rav Shimon, doesn't matter if it's Rav here.
Correct, it's Malacha Shein Tzvich L'Gufa, and Rav Shimon holds Malacha Shein Tzvich L'Gufa Potter Aleh. And guess what? Rashi doesn't say that. What does Rashi say? Ela Makalkel, V'chol Makalkel in Peturim. Now, I'm tempted to think that Rashi adds Makalkel here for some purpose, meaning Rashi is brilliant enough to know that Lechora, we don't need Makalkel here. Forget about Makalkel. This is a classical case of Malacha Shein Tzvich L'Gufa. But for some reason, even though Rashi knows very well that there's Malacha Shein Tzvich L'Gufa here, nevertheless Rashi wants to add the cherry on top. A second layer. And what's the second layer? Kol HaMakalkel in Peturim.
Or you could just say, it's instead of giving it to Lamdas, this is a simple pshat. Just to say, Kol HaMakalkel in Peturim. You don't need, for this Gemara here, that's enough to suffice that you know Kol HaMakalkel.
But again, but Rashi Shita, let's go back to Daf Kuf Vav, is the following. Is it Makalkel or is not Makalkel? Says Rashi, that depends on Malacha Shein Tzvich L'Gufa. Meaning, for Rashi to tell me here that this is called Makalkel, I have a technical objection, technical foul. Because in fact, it's not Makalkel. He needs the offer. So you'll answer, but he doesn't need the hole. So that depends on the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. In fact, the whole reason why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chovil Mavir is called Meleches Tikun is because if I need the Chovil Mavir for my dog or for my ashes, right, that makes it into a Tikun. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds Melech Shein Tzvich L'Gufa Chayav Aleh. But if on the other hand I accept the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, then the fact that I need the Chavala for the dam that I'm collecting to feed my dog, the fact that I need the mavir because I need the ashes, is irrelevant. The halacha doesn't recognize or validate that coin and sort, and it remains makalkel. But I can only answer the question of makalkel in the case of chofer guma vieno tzarech eliafra if I answer a more fundamental question, the primary question, or sequentially comes first, namely, how do you define litzarech? Litzarech is going to, you know, whether or not it's Makalkel or Mesaken hinges upon the question whether it's Litzarech or not. Well, how do I evaluate whether it's Litzarech or not? And the answer is I have to analyze the Machlok stream of Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. What is Litzarech? How do I define it? Rabbi Yehuda is willing to say if it's Litzarech Eitzal Acherim, that's called Litzarech. In which case, this is not a case of Makalkel. Because although I might be Makalkel the ground, but I'd be Mesaken the Kisui Ofar and the Mitzvah of Kisui Adah. That's called Mesaken Eitzal Acherim, which Rabbi Yehuda validates. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says that Chovel Mavir is always going to be a Tikun, because you needed Eitzal Acherim. So for Rashi to go ahead and make this bold leap and tell me, which the Gemara doesn't tell me, this is all Rashi, namely that the reason why Chofer Guma V'Yein Tzarech Eliafra is Potter is because of Makalkel, Rashi really is begging the question, why is it Makalkel? Is this called a Kilkel? I need the offer desperately for Kisi Adam. That's called a Kilkel? Well, yes, it's Kilkel in the balance, in the overall balance sheet, right? Because you know, on the one hand, you're making a hole in the ground. On the other hand, you need the dirt. I don't know. I'm not sure where the balance sheet would be in this case. Well, again, Charisha and Tchina, let's say, Tchina we solved already. That problem doesn't exist. Why? Because we're talking about Efer Tichok. Efer Tichok solves the problem. It's already loose ground. Norvas, you're making a hole in the ground. Okay, so you annoyates, you know, annoyates Deker Makarka. Fine, wonderful. It's Mucha and everything. So, but now you're digging out the ground, digging out the hole. So the Gemara says you should be chai for Chorish. The Gemara answers, but ain't it Tzarek? I don't need the hole. Right? That's what the Gemara says. So the name Rabbi Yom, ain't no Tzarek. Ella, I need the earth to be taken out, and therefore the hole helps me in order to get the earth. But that's called Tikun Eitzel Acherim. Now, Is that called kilkul or is that called tikkun? Does halacha recognize and validate the tikkun eitzel acherim or not? The answer is that's not halachos shu'ur of Yehuda Reb Shimon. According to Reb Yehuda, the Torah validates the tzorach eitzel acherim. According to Reb Shimon, the Torah does not. So it's very odd to me that Rashi skips what I think is the primary issue here and instead presents the secondary issue. Now, the one who notices this, I think, let's see if I can find this, is the Shita Mekubetzes. Now, what is the Shita Mekubetzes? The Shita Mekubetzes is an anthology of commentaries on the Gemara that was put together by Rabbi Bezalel Ashkenazi, who lived, if I'm not mistaken, in Egypt about 5.5 centuries ago, Rabbi Bezalel Ashkenazi. Now, if I would ask you whether he's an Ashkenazi or Sephardi, what would you tell me by the name, by his last name? Sephardi, for sure. All Ashkenazis are Sephardi. Rabbi Bezalel Ashkenazi was a mixture, so to speak. He's like the Arizal. You know, he was both an Ashkenazi and a Sephardi. Anyway, he authored the Shita Mekubetzes.
I thought the idea that when the so-called Ashkenazi came over to the Sephardi, they named them all Ashkenazi because they were Ashkenazi.
Right. And then eventually they became Sephardim, and hence the name Ashkenazi is a Sephardic name. But anyone you know by the name of Ashkenazi is certainly a Sephardi. Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi was a Sephardi, but he was also an Ashkenazi at the same time. There are a few Jews in history that overlap both. The Arizal, it's amazing, you know. The Ashkenazim claim him for theirs, and the Sephardim for theirs. Because he was everything to everybody. He should have been Mashiach. Alright. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you this Shita Mekubetzes. We'll see if we can photocopy it. He says the following. Hachofer guma v'yein tzarech el liafra potter alei pirish Rashi zal kevon mishum dehavi le mekalkil v'kol ha-mekalkil in pturim. Right? Just 1 second. Kol ha-mekalkil. Does Rashi say kol ha-mekalkil in pturim? Let me just go back and see. Yeah. Right? Mekalkil v'kol ha-mekalkil in pturim. Ches hamed alef. Do you have ches hamed alef here? Oh, good. You have. The call him a calculum peturi. How come I don't see it, Harvey?
This is sick.
Yeah, this is Shabbos. We need bait. Okay, good. Here, Rashi, I'm going to underline it for you so you can see it. And Rashi says, call him a calculum peturi. Okay, then?
All
right. Okay. So the Shita Mekubetzes says the following. Afilu im haya masaken. Even if you would tell me that this is a tikkun, meaning because he needs what? He needs the offer. I think he's asking our question. Hutzrach Zal. Zal is a reference to Rashi, is a Chorot Levracha. Lomar Kain. Nevertheless, Rashi needed to add the Mekalkil element here. In order to give us two reasons why he's potter.
But he didn't mention them.
Well, the first one he didn't mention because that was simple and straightforward. Meaning, this is your classical malach shen tzrich legufa. I don't need the hole, I need the dirt. But Rashi added another reason because he needs two reasons. Why? Here's the punchline. 5 words. If you want to write this down, if I had the time, I would write on the black. Kidei shiyehe hacha patrumuta. Patrumuta. Okay? Let me write those 2 words down. Shita mekubetzet. Okay, we have to add water to this. I forgot to do that. Shita mekubetzet patur. Umutar. Who's going to help me out here?
Because Potter is normally awesome.
Excellent. And what does that mean, Harvey, that it's normally awesome? Awesome in the Raisa?
Awesome in Ravana.
Excellent. Awesome in Ravana. We have a rule that whenever we see the word Potter in the world of Shabbos, in the entire universe of Shabbos, it always means Potter Aval Awesome. that even though the Torah says you're okay, the Rabbanan prohibit. It's a rabbinic injunction. Says the Sheet of Gubet, says here's the exception to the rule. It's Pater Umut. Let's explain. Rashi was bothered by the following question. You're telling me that because he has offered Tichoach Mibod Yom, and therefore he has no problem with Melechus Ketisha, that he's allowed to cover the Dam. But what about Melechus Harisha? Well, he doesn't need the hole. He only needs the dirt. Well, that's a Melech Shen Tzrich L'Gufa. The law regarding Melech Shen Tzrich L'Gufa, with Paschal like Rav Shimon, is what, Shmuel? I'll give you two choices. Chayav or Potter, with Paschal like Shmuel, like Rav Shimon. Potter, right? What does that mean, Potter? In all the universe of Shabbos, Potter means what? Potter, exactly. I've lost the Rabbanan. Says the Sheet of Gubet, says, here's the exception to the rule. Why? Here it's going to be Potter Umutter. Again, I want to do the Kisi Adam. And Basil wants, he's not going to allow you to do the Shechita until you guarantee me that you can do the Kisi Adam. He doesn't want to put you in a situation where you're being mevatel amidst the saseh by shechting and not doing the Kisi Adam. So what does Basil say? No problem. Why is it no problem? Tomorrow, Shem Tzrich L'Guf. You don't need the hole, you need the dirt. Nope. But Rashi has an issue over here. Melech Shein Tzrich L'Guf is Pata Avasa. We can't allow you, at least on a rabbinic level, to do the Kisi Adam under the law of Melech Shein Tzrich L'Guf. So Rashi needs tray timing. Okay? Rashi needs tray timing.
Three?
No, tray is two. Tray timing. What are the tray timing? Melech Shein Tzrich L'Guf was upgraded. That was understood. I didn't even have to tell you that. Rashi adds a second time. Why else are you put?
Mekalka.
Says the Sheet of Gubet says, X plus Y equals Z. What does that mean? If I have one reason to say you're potter, and then I can add another reason to say you're potter, that's called trade timing, then instead of saying Avol Asur, it's Potter Umut. A whole new equation in Hilchos Shabbos, which I never heard of and I never knew about. Meaning that if I would isolate Melech Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, what would be the rule? Potter Avol Asur. If I would isolate Mekalkel, what would be the din? Potter Avol Asur. If I combine the two, piggybacking one on top of the other, then it's Potter Umut. That's called tray time. Shmuel?
The part I really like about this is that the Sheet of Kubetzah did something that jives very well with the Mishnah. Because Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that this is supposed to end up to be totally mutter. Because the guy was allowed to be shechting. On the other hand...
Wait, allowed to be shechting and... Just add another word. Add as a result of shechting...
Cover the top. Just by having a deker in there. And then he had to manipulate soil, and that's if it can end up mutter, that explains the Mishnah better. What I didn't get is I'm thinking more about the way when people ask a shayla, right? So I'm not sure how different... Okay, let's say a posek that was asked this question, somebody came to him and said, I want to shech some meat now on Yom Tov. So he might say to him, shechting is going to be mutter. And then you're going to do other things that are malacha she'en tzarich l'gufa. We said that's going to be pshita. And then we said it's going to be mekalkel. Right. So that's even two. And you might also say it's supposed to end up mutter because it's simchat yom tov and everything.
Well, I don't know. But it's two.
Sure
that's
the key. How separate those two are after that last Rashi. Malacha she'en tzarich l'gufa, he was doing it. Like you said, we could barely find a malacha she'en tzarich l'gufa that isn't mekalkel.
Oh, so that's what I asked you. That's what I asked you. Well, now I want to see if you can give me the answer. Why are we learning Beitza today? Yesterday, we were learning Shabbos Kuf Vav. And Rashi gave a whole complicated presentation to explain why the Brice of Rabbi Avo of Kol HaMakalkim Turim Chutz Mipovel Mavir is a reflection of Shitas Rabbi Shimon. And in the course of that description, of that explanation, Rashi presents us with the following conclusion, that according to Rabbi Shimon, I don't need Makalkim, because every case of Makalkim, by definition, is Tzorech Al Yidei Acherim. And if it's a tzorech al yidei acherim, that's called a malach shein tzricha legufa. So Reb Shimon, who owns malach shein tzricha his potter, doesn't even need the concept of mekalkin. What's the answer? Why does Reb Shimon need mekalkin? Why did the Mishnah say call him mekalkin? Because the Shita Mekubetzes, if we learn Beitza, with the Shita Mekubetzes, we begin to understand why Reb Shimon needs the concept of mekalkin potter. It would be enough just to say Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Potter, because Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Potter would be Potter Avol. Awesome. But now I have Mekalkel Potter, I have Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Potter, and when I can piggyback one on top of the other, then it becomes Mut. Two Pturim combined, overlapping, create a Heter L'Chatchila, and they remove and undermine the Issur D'Rabbanan. The Issur D'Rabbanan applies when I have one Siba, one reason, liftar, to exempt him. But if I have two reasons, it's not only a malach shein tzrich legufa, but it's also a mekalkel. That's considered potter umuta. Now, what I'd like to do during chavrusa time is research this. Is it really true that if you piggyback two different pturim, each of one in isolation would generate an issur d'rabbanan, but when I combine the two, I can create a heter l'chatchila? So if you can make a note of it.
Isn't that a form of sakta with the event?
Well, I want you to be open-minded. I'm going to ask you to come to the table without any prejudices, without any preconditions, preconceived
notions. What's the question? How
question is the following. If I could combine A plus B, I called it X plus Y, whatever it is, two pturim, each one individually, independent, would generate an issur d'rabbanan, when I can overlap the two in one scenario and say that this case fits into both malach shein tzrich l'gufa and mekalkel, that I can generate a heter l'chatchila and do away with the issur d'rabbanan.
And the question is, how can that be? Is that the question?
No, I'm not asking how can that be. I want to know if it's so. This should have reverberations in halacha. Because with what we're seeing here in the Shita Mekubetzes explanation of Rashi and Beitza Daf Ches is a brand new principle. And a brand new halachic principle in the world of Shabbos could never go unnoticed. So what I would like you to do here is to take a look at the Bir Halacha. Does anybody know who authored the Bir Halacha? Does anybody know who authored the Mishnah Berurah?
Yes.
The Chofetz Chaim. So the same author who authored the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah is on the right side of the page, authored the Bir Halacha on the left side of the page. Okay, so it's the same author, but there he goes into greater detail. Now, I want you to write down the following. Maybe Tzvi, if you don't mind being our stenographer, it's Simon Shin Tes Zion. Okay, that's the equivalent of 316. Shin Tes Zayin. Se'if Ches. And the Bir Halacha begins with the heading, the Dibra Maschil, Ve'hachovel.
Where is that?
Where is it? It's on the shelves, I hope. I hope there's a Mishnah Berurah. It should be, Shin Tes Zayin should be Chelek Dalid in the sixth volume. Mishnah Berurah should be the fourth volume, I think. I'll double check it in just a minute. And perhaps we can photocopy that page. But I have to warn you, the Bir Halacha is humongous. It's a month's work. But what we're going to look at is the last 10 lines in that presentation. If you want, you can start it from the beginning and come back to me in a month. But if you want to come back to me tomorrow, So just the last Sunday. Yeah, I call it tomorrow. To me, every day is the day before tomorrow's Shia, so that's called tomorrow. You know, I don't count those days when there's no Shiur. You understand what I mean? Because I eat, drink, and sleep this stuff. Because otherwise, I'm not prepared. Last night, I had a challenge. I was at a wedding. I got to the wedding at 5:45. Till I got there. So you can imagine, from 5 until midnight and later, I was farnumen, as we say in Yiddish. I was preoccupied with a wedding. It was great. But I wasn't involved in mitzvahs Shabbos or learning Hilchah Shabbos or Masechta Shabbos, and certainly not Beitzah.
You're not one of those guys sitting at the table with a book in front of you, say, from
Well, the truth is that there were no books in front of us, but we did have some interesting discussions at the table.
That's a given, but the guys that come to the wedding and they sit there with a safe for 3 hours.
Right, you wonder why they bother to come to the wedding. Right? Yeah. So that's what I'd like you to look at. So Bli Neder, we'll go over to the Svarim Shank and we'll take out the Mishnah Berurah. I think it's Chelek Dalet. And we want to see, again, Shmuel, I don't want you to come to this Mishnah Berurah, this Bir Halacha, with any preconceived notions.
No problem.
I want you to be open-minded, because I have a feeling that the Mishnah Berurah, again, I can't say this on tape, so we better shut off the tape. No, you can leave it on. I have a feeling that the Mishnah Berurah was unaware of the Shita Mekubetzos.
Really?
I think so. I don't know, we'll see. Again, be open-minded. Because he doesn't refer to the Shita Mekubetzos in the context of his discussion as to whether or not we can combine Melach Shen Tzricha L'Gufa together with Mekalkel and generate a Heter L'Chatchil. So that's number one. Number two, again, and for anybody who has time today after the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, is I'd like you to go on to a Sugya in Sanhedrin, believe it or not. We're really flying through Shas. Okay? And the cool thing about this Gemara in Sanhedrin is that the Daf Yomi Shirim are not going to get to this for another month. So we're ahead of Daf Yomi by a month. Okay, it's on Daf Pei Dalin Amid Beis. That's 84b. And the Gemara itself is familiar to us because we've already learnt the Gemara. It's just this is a grafted Gemara, if you know what I mean, from Kuf Vav in Shabbos over here to Sanhedrin Pei Dalet Amid Beis. And the Gemara mentions that Mekalkel Bechabura is Chayav. In other words, the Meleches Chovel Yechayav, even if it's a Kilkul. And we've already seen that the Gemara here on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph identifies that Shita with Rabbi Shimon. So that you'll see again reiterated here in Sanhedrin. But what you won't see in Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Vav is this Tosfos Dibra Maskil Man. So you want to write down. And maybe, Svi, we can photocopy this, so we'll have it already ready for next week. Pei Dalet Amud Beis in Sanhedrin. And Tosfos is on the page. Dibra Maskil Man.
Man?
Man. Mem Aleph Nun. And that's going to be a fascinating discussion here that I think will shed light on everything that we've spoken about up to date regarding Mekalkel. Okay, there, Rabosai. So let's get to work in the Beis Medrash. And the first thing we'll do is try to find the Bir Allah.